everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
You can follow me on Twitter at @_SydneyMyers. You can follow the show on Twitter at @DallasHoopsCast. And you can listen to new episodes and read exclusive articles at DallasHoopsCast.com, where you can also read the latest breaking news from around the web about the Dallas Mavericks, of course, and start shopping for Mavs gear and tickets. That's DallasHoopsCast.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. So we just finished up a week worth of Mavs games. They had a pretty monster lineup against the Lakers, the Nuggets, and the Blazers. In our last episode, we did a recap of the Blazers game and shared our thoughts on that. So we're going to do a kind of share our thoughts on just the week as a whole, starting with the Lakers game. Mm-hmm. So that just ended last night. After starting the season 2-0, this past week the Mavs went 1-2 with their two losses being at the Lakers and Blazers. They're now 3-2. So just starting with your initial reaction to the game, do you think the Mavs lost this game or did the Lakers win it?
It's always the dumb question.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. But really, you know, they lost the game to the Lakers. If you take away the things that were kind of out of the Mavs' control, does the loss bother you from a team perspective? And if so, what?
Well, no, because they did win. You know, the reason they lost is because two things.
Actually, several things.
Yeah, several things.
A lot of things had to go wrong for them to lose this game.
Yes, and unfortunately, they all did. Yeah. And the biggest one was Dwight Howard, a clear hold on Seth Curry as he's trying to rotate. And if he doesn't hold him there, then that pass isn't available. And LeBron can't throw it over there. So it would have been a turnover, most likely, or LeBron would have to go for a layup, which is fine, which is what you want. But another thing that went wrong there was Maxi Kleber should not have closed out. Mm-hmm. Like, just let LeBron have the
layup. It's a two.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, obviously, if he could have that play back, he would do it differently.
Also, Dwight Powell's missed free throw.
Yeah, well, the Mavs in general, I mean, Porzingis is shooting like 68% or something ridiculously low from the free throw line. And in this game, he was 3-for-6. And the fourth quarter is where the Mavericks are missing their free throws. And against Portland and against the Lakers, it really cost them. It almost cost them against Denver, and they happened to be able to pull out of it.
Yeah.
But their free throws missing late in games is really hurting them, and their free throw shooting in general is not very good. And if Powell just makes his free throws, I mean, he made one, but if he just makes one more, then the game's over.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if the call doesn't go your way at the end.
Yeah.
So you can't blame the refs, but, you know, you don't make all your free throws. And I felt like it throughout all the stuff that was happening, they were in a position to win. They technically did win. They made the plays they needed to make. And the refs just missed a really blatant call.
Yeah, it was one of those games where a lot of things down the stretch went against you.
Yes.
Some of them were the Mavs' fault, but in the end, they did what it took to win the game. Like, they did have a three-point lead. They forced that shot by Avery Bradley. Mm-hmm. Luka got the rebound. They had, of all the things that they missed, they had done enough to get the lead and win the game. And so it sucks to lose it that way. But like you said, I mean, if you take that out of it, the game, I thought they played well. I mean, I thought they played well enough to win. And so there's a couple of things like that we're going to talk about that they can improve on. But it's more just like, just these little things they can do better. But overall, they're still a pretty good mm-hmm. team.
And I wonder if, and I know we're kind of all over the place to start this, but I wonder if Porzingis' poor free throw shooting to start this season, because, you know, when he got the ball after Luka got the rebound, first of all, Luka probably should have kept it.
I thought so.
But I don't think he had much confidence in his free throw shooting.
And then Porzingis should have caught
it. And I wonder if he passed it because he doesn't have confidence in his free throw shooting and he gave the ball up. Or perhaps he just wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking the situation of the game and just gave it to Powell.
Well, and also you try to extend the clock. You just keep moving it so that they can't foul you.
And it was unfortunate. I felt like they made enough plays at the end to win the game. They did win the game.
They did win the game.
Except, you know, Dwight had to hold Seth. And you know Dwight knows what he did.
Yeah. Well, and also Dwight Powell missing that free throw. Yeah. And of course, there's no guarantee that Seth would have been able to defend it well enough or that Danny Green would have missed the shot. I mean, there's so many things that you don't know what would have happened. But it sucks for it to end that way.
And if you make your free throw, it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah. And so, like, we can sit here and blame the refs all we want. And it wasn't the refs' fault. I mean, the Mavs just made poor decisions at the end of the game.
That play, obviously, that's the refs' fault. They missed that call. But as far as the other things that happened that put the Mavs in that position in the first place, that's our own fault.
Yeah.
I think a couple, really, it's only two things that we talked about that could be better. One of them was getting Porzingis more involved. And what was encouraging about this is that both Porzingis and Carlisle recognized the same thing.
Yeah, I loved Carlisle's response to that question. He didn't make excuses. Mm-hmm. He didn't say that was the flow of the game. He didn't say any of that. He said, I got to find a way to get him more shots, which is the right answer, because we are able to get open shots for so many of our players.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting open shots for Dorian Finney-Smith and Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba. And I feel like we should be able to get some of these shots for Porzingis because, you know, he shoots it at a much higher percentage. Yeah. I'd rather have Porzingis shooting these shots at the end of the game than Dwight Powell or Maxi.
Or Finney-Smith.
And Finney-Smith made a huge shot. I get that.
I'm not taking that away. It's just...
You have a better chance of success if it's Porzingis
going
shooting.
Going forward.
Yes.
So, like, Porzingis got 16 shots. Kleba got 10. Wright got 10. Hardaway Jr. got 11, which is something else we're going to talk about. You know, that's a lot of shots for those guys. And I'm not saying they shouldn't get any, but you take one or two away from each of them and give them to Porzingis, and I just feel better about his involvement and therefore the impact he can have on the game.
Well, and you were talking about Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway is, and we'll get more into him in a minute, but just speaking of the shots, he's so inefficient.
Yeah.
That if you just take two or three shots away from his inefficiency.
Which are bad shots.
Yes.
He doesn't need to take those anyway.
To Porzingis.
Yeah.
Then, you know, yeah, there's going to be games where Porzingis isn't on. And really, in the second half, he wasn't on. Now, a lot of that, I think, was when he got into foul trouble, he went to the bench. Mm-hmm. And he sat for a long time. Like, he went out on the bench like 6 minutes into the first quarter. But he didn't come back till like 6 minutes into the second. And I felt like it was an unnecessary length of time he sat from the start of the second quarter. I felt like he should have been in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he started off hot. This long rest is going to impact how he plays the rest of the game. And it did, you know, and he even mentioned that. And not just because he was sitting, he got cold, he got out of rhythm, but the game went in a different direction when he wasn't out there. And then when he came in after such a long rest, the game was a whole different rhythm. He really struggled to find his fit within the game.
Yeah. Do you think, and maybe it's a conglomerate, we talked about whose fault is that, but who is it that controls that more? Do you think that's more about Carlisle calling the plays?
Yeah.
Luka, since he has the ball after all.
Luka does have to do a better job of getting Porzingis involved. But at the same time, Carlisle calls the plays.
Mm-hmm.
He is the play caller. And if Porzingis is not getting shots, Carlisle needs to call plays where Porzingis gets shots. Now, when there isn't a play called, which is not very often, then Luka should take advantage of those to try to get Porzingis, but without forcing it.
Yeah.
If you ran less plays, then I feel like more of those opportunities. And we saw in the first half where there was no play called.
The
Mavs were coming down.
Yeah.
And Luka got Porzingis down low with LeBron on him, and he turned around and hit a fadeaway. It wasn't a play. It was kind of a semi-fast break.
A lot of times it looked like they just gave it to Porzingis and let him go to work wherever he happened to be when he caught it. Also, there were some plays down the stretch where it was like a pick and roll, and Luke or Porzingis would get camped out on the 3-point line, but he was open on that pick and roll. And I feel like Luka missed that pass a couple of times where it would have been a wide open three.
Yeah. But I think the first option
is the corner
three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where you go first. The second option is Luka driving it. Mm-hmm. Because if that corner three is not open, that means that guy didn't help, which means Luka has a wide open layup. So the second option would be Luka. If that's taken away, the third option would be Porzingis. Porzingis shouldn't be your third option. Yeah. No, Porzingis should be the guy in the corner. If you're going to run that play and that play is designed to get a corner shot, then that should be Porzingis. First of all, it also opens up, you know, Luka is going to have better success with that because that guy's going to be less reluctant or more reluctant to leave Porzingis in that corner. And Luka should have a wide open layup. But yeah, there was a lot of opportunities that Porzingis could have had, and he just found himself watching, really, Luka carry the team.
Well, I thought especially after Luka got hurt, and he seemed to rebound pretty well from that. He had some big plays after that, but there was a stretch where it looked like he was not 100%. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, like, I wish they would run some plays for Porzingis, just, you know, one, to get him involved, and two, because just to kind of help Luka out for these couple minutes where he's not 100%.
That's the point of having a second star.
Yeah, just, you know, do a couple post-ups real quick. I'm not saying we got to do this 40 times a game like the Lakers do, but just during this stretch, these are kind of extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. Let's just calm things down and get some good shots with Porzingis. And that'll help get him involved anyways. I wish they had done that.
Well, it was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Because Luka was carrying the team. He's probably gassed at some point, or the head injury affected him, which I think it did.
I think
we're safe to say that he still made some big plays, but that was an opportunity for Porzingis to step up. But, you know, it didn't happen. I like the Mavericks offense. I do. They do get so many open shots. We're just getting open shots for the wrong people.
Yeah.
And I know Carlisle is really stubborn, and he really, really likes Dorian and Maxie
and Powell.
Yeah. He loves them. And history shows that Carlisle shows favoritism. And for whatever reason, he wants to get these guys shots while Porzingis is just standing there.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think, you know, the flow offense and what Carlisle really wants to do is spread the ball around. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, so many great teams do that. And it's not like Maxi and Powell, you know, these guys don't suck.
No.
It's not like they should never shoot. It's just, I wish that Porzingis was a larger part of the offense instead of being the second or third option.
And I think they both, I think Carlisle recognized that.
Yeah.
And Porzingis is being patient. You know, it's his fifth game back. So and really, you don't want them doing what the Lakers offense is not really a good offense.
Yeah.
There's so much reliant on Anthony Davis.
On one player and on one play.
Yes.
A post-up.
It's literally an ISO, Anthony Davis in the post.
And it's two pointers every time, which,
and
you know,
it's just not very good offense. Yeah, they won the game. They did. I'm not trying to take that away.
Technically.
Yeah, technically the Mavs won. Whatever. But Davis has to score efficiently every game in order for them to win. And LeBron has to have a huge game. The rest of their role players really suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just do. And we thought the Mavericks role players were bad coming into the season. We're starting to learn they actually have some quality pieces out there. And the Mavericks aren't reliant. And we saw that in the Denver game.
Yeah.
They can win a game if you have to, if your two guys aren't on a fire.
On a fire.
It's a new phrase.
It's a new thing. Book
on
it.
On a fire.
One interesting thing, the Lakers overall shot 49% from the field for the floor. The Mavericks shot 39%. They only lost by, 9 points, went into overtime. But the Mavs shot 39% from the three-point line. So even though their overall shooting percentage was 39-49, because the Mavericks, you know, rely more on those threes, whereas the Lakers don't, you can see how it helps them. Sorry, you want to say something about that?
No, I'll let you finish.
Well, just, you know, talking about the threes, I remember in our last episode, it was after the Portland game, when the Mavericks, we were frustrated with how much Luka and Porzingis were really settling for three-pointers and also bad three-pointers. They were contested or unnecessary step-backs, which I think, you know, Luka has that shot in his bag, the step back. And he did that a couple times in this game, and they were good shots and they went in, but they were relying on it too much whenever we felt like they were so effective driving at the rim. It was like, why don't you just do that? And I think in these past two games since that Portland game, you can see they recognize that and they're making a concerted effort to drive it. They're not just settling for
well,
their shots.
And with that Portland game, like, look, I want Luka to shoot a step back. That's his shot.
Yeah.
But he's got to recognize when it's not going in.
Yeah. That, or just, is there a better?
Yeah. Take advantage of the fact that you're able to get to the rim. He's shooting dynamite from 2-point range.
Mm-hmm.
At the rim, he gets to the rim with ease and he's shooting it really high percentage. No one can stay in front of him. He had a couple plays in this where Danny Green was on him. Right by Danny Green. Like he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so I don't mind the 3-point shots. It's just when you take them, is it in the rhythm of the game? And how are you shooting that game? Because if you're 0-for-7, maybe that's a time that you just drive it.
Try to get an easier shot. Get yourself in rhythm.
Yeah, and a more mature player would recognize that. And he probably will really quickly.
Yeah, well, and already since that game, you can see that they saw it and they adjusted. Yeah. So that was encouraging to see. Getting Porzingis more involved. It was good to see, like, you know, Carlisle and Porzingis recognize that too. One other thing, so we brought this up earlier, Tim Hardaway Jr. Again, you know, this was the same, I think we talked about it last episode too, how Hardaway Jr. is just like really struggling. And I thought in the beginning of the season, I was like, I think he deserves a chance to be either the sixth man or a solid starter. I think he can average 15 points. And it's the same story. He takes bad shots. And I think that's why his shooting percentage is so low. Like, if you were to just see it, you'd be like, or just to see him shoot, you're like, why doesn't he shoot a higher percentage? But it's because his shots are so bad. If he could just have the discipline to not take bad shots, only take good shots, it sounds so simple. But I mean, right now he's really hurting the Mavs.
He, I think, is the least effective person that plays.
And it doesn't have to be that way. He does it to himself. He takes bad shots.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway is, he's just, he doesn't make good decisions. He's not a great defender. He's very inefficient. And I know it's only 5 games into the season. He could just be struggling to start the season, and he'll get better as
time
goes on.
Maybe trying to find his place
And it might be too early to do anything, but there were just some scenarios where I felt like he shouldn't be out on the court. Like in overtime, I felt like that should have been Seth. I know Seth only had 4 points, but Seth is a better defender, and he's a better 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And Seth maybe doesn't get a bunch of points, but him being out there impacts the game because you cannot leave him. And so just having him out there, even though he's not scoring, he's a decoy. And Carlisle loves decoys.
Yeah.
And Tim Hardaway, I don't think he puts the fear in anybody. You kind of want Tim Hardaway shooting right now because he's just not shooting very effectively. And he had one shot in overtime that was like, dude.
It was a bad shot. It was. It was just a really bad shot. And then on the very next possession, he was about to take the same bad shot. And then what was worse is that in midair, he changed his mind and then dumped it off to Porzingis, who was like, what the heck am I supposed to?
And it was a turnover.
So then it was a turnover. Yeah. It's like, he's really hurting them right now.
I don't see a big need to continue to play Tim Hardaway. I think the minutes should go to Seth and they should go to Jalen. Jalen only played 14 minutes tonight. Again, you know, Jalen didn't play very well either. And honestly, the Lakers do have really good defense.
And they have a lot of size too.
Yes. And the way the Mavericks were impacting or winning this game was because Luka's playmaking ability was getting alley-oops and was getting corner threes. And Seth isn't sitting in the corner and Jalen's not sitting in the corner. That's just the way their offense is.
Yeah.
It's Dorian for some stupid reason. And he's like the worst 3-point shooter on the team.
So I'm working on this article right now about Dorian Finney-Smith because we've talked about how we don't like him.
We're a little too harsh on him. But
yeah, but you know, he keeps getting minutes and he starts. And so finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to figure out what the Mavericks see in Dorian Finney-Smith. So I'm working on this article talking about his defense and his offense. it's not published yet, but just, yeah, one little preview is that he is a terrible, well, we know he's a terrible three-point shooter, but even on the corner three that is an easier shot, he is just awful. And honestly, this year, it's only five games, but he has been better on the corner threes. He's only taken like four or five of them, so it's like a really small sample size. But yeah, he's just, to have him be the one in the corner, considering how much he struggles from the three-point line and particularly from corners, it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. It's just weird that he's the one. And I mean, he made the big three. Like, I'm not gonna,
I know, it's like,
I'm not gonna take that away from him. Like, that was huge. And I'm really happy. And after doing this article, I, you know, when I publish it, you'll see it. Like, I do have more appreciation for Finney Smith. But still, like, if it was Porzingis or Curry, it just, I would feel better about it.
But Carlisle
is a favoritism guy. Yeah.
And so he's going to try to get that shot for Dorian because he believes in Dorian.
Well, and he wants Dorian to be that the 3 and D guy. And even though he's not yet, it's like, well, that's what we want you to be. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be on the 3-point in the corner. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to publish that article. I don't know, maybe this tomorrow or Monday. But yeah, it's the Hardaway thing. You know, it is a little frustrating. And sometimes I think, like, well, maybe he's just working with the roster that he has. You know, like, who he has is Maxi and Hardaway and these guys. And there's some of them that doesn't bother him. Like, he clearly likes them. But like Hardaway, they have him. You know, he's got to play.
That doesn't mean he has to play 26 minutes. And it doesn't mean
it was overtime, so it probably would have been 20.
But that's my point. Like, why is he the crunch time player? Yeah. And I know one of my biggest problems with Carlisle is he plays the advanced stats in crunch time. Hmm. So whoever has a history of playing well against that particular team or against that particular opponent, defense, that one guy, mm-hmm. or he's playing well that game, that person's going to be closing the game. I don't like that because I feel like you have inconsistency to close games. I feel like your closing lineup should be the same. They should always know where you're going to be, who's going to be out there, where they like their shots. Yeah. All of that, I feel like it should be the same, and he doesn't do that. Yeah, he's kind of riding the hot hand, even though Tim Hardaway.
Yeah.
And another thing, he had Tim Hardaway guarding LeBron.
Yeah.
And he said in his postgame comments that he did a good job. I was like, I felt like LeBron destroyed Tim Hardaway. Yeah, I really did.
He did. He's just got too much size.
And I don't understand. I know DeLon's only 6'5", but why not try it? Carlisle is so big on experimentation and trying to find things that work. But sometimes some of the most obvious, he mm-hmm. doesn't try. And I feel like trying your best defender, I guess, or your second best defender, if Dorian's your first, just try him on LeBron. Yeah. See if he can just rip him.
Yeah.
He's got good hands.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, part of it I think is the roster, but then part of it, but you know, it's funny though, like, I remember of course, this was a championship team, so it's easier to say, like, well, why don't you just do that? Like, that he did have a solid lineup
rotation
for crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in crunch time, you knew who was going to be on the court. You know exactly who they were going to be guarding once you looked at the matchup. I mean, everything was set. Now, like I said, that was a championship team. It's easy to do the perfect thing when you have the perfect players.
Yeah, when your lineup is Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, Sean Marion, Dirk, and Tyson, it's
like,
easy.
It's easy, yeah.
And they don't have
when
those
it's Dorian,
guys.
Tim Hardaway,
Seth
and DeLon
Curry,
Wright, it's
DeLon,
like, well, I guess we can put Powell on LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, overall, like I said, I'm not really bothered by the loss. I mean, aside from the bad things that, like, the missed call and all that, like, that bothers me. But the loss itself, I'm not too bothered because I think they did enough to win. I think some things just kind of went wrong at the end. I think it's simple things they can learn from. And just overall, the game, they looked like a good team.
They were competing.
Yeah, they looked
them.
Like a really
yeah.
good team. And I want to say that they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, particularly with Golden State now struggling, probably with the Kings, obviously. Just
and the Pelicans
out
are out.
Yeah, the Pelicans are out. So I think I don't want to say it, like, they shouldn't feel like it's a lock. But I feel like they should make the playoffs. Yeah.
And really, in this game, with all the negative things that happened, they had a three-point lead with 6 seconds
yeah,
left.
Yeah, and something bizarre had to happen for them to lose.
And they
it.
Had
like,
a,
you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's
really
not going to happen again.
And you can't control those things.
Yeah.
So they got some things they got to clean up, like their free throw shooting. Yeah. You got to find a way to get Porzingis involved when it's needed. But other than that, they played great. We got to spend a couple minutes on Luka because I feel like we've talked about everybody else. And we didn't talk about how great of a game.
Do your man crush. that should be a new segment.
My man crush.
Who is your Martin's man crush for this game?
We're going to edit all this out, I hope. So, no, Luka was just awesome. 31 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 4 of 9 from 3, which is 44%, which is great. He was awesome. And there were stretches in this game where the Lakers, LeBron and AD would do something, and Luka would come right back.
And do the same thing.
And yes. And it was just, it was so fun to watch.
It was, I think it was Carlisle who said he's got a flair for, like, for the show, for showmanship.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Luka, I'm telling you, it's going to be a similar thing with LeBron where 4 or 5 years into his career, there's going to be no question who the best player in the league is. And for 10 years, it was LeBron. There was no question.
No matter what Durant did,
or
it was
what
LeBron.
Steph was doing or anybody,
but he ain't no LeBron.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that. Yeah.
And Luka is going to be the best player in the league. There's going to be no question. I mean, dude's averaging 26 points, basically 10 rebounds, and 8.5 assists. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I think he's going to be an all-star this year.
Oh, he better. Especially now that Seth is out.
Steph
is out, and Draymond probably not going to make it. Yeah. And Clay's already gone. Yeah. So, yeah, he better make the all-star game this year.
Yeah.
Especially if he's dropping 26, 10, and 9.
And with all these nationally televised games they have, I feel like he has an even better chance because people are going to see him. Yeah.
Yeah, how could you not like what you saw last night?
Yeah. Okay, so new segment we want to do for every game is give out a game ball. Now, you made some stipulations for who we give this to. It can't be Luka or Porzingis. And I think just because that would
they're the two best players on the team.
Yeah. So, but just who else outside of that deserves the game ball? My choice for the game ball is Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
The Mavs team.
I thought the play at the end, I mean, that won the game for them. I feel like he deserves the game ball.
Yes, but just going forward.
Am I not doing it right?
No, you're doing fine because Dwight Howard flat out cheated.
I feel like he deserves the game ball.
Yeah, I mean, he cheated and they won the game.
Yeah, so that's my pick.
I'm going to go game ball. Obviously, outside of Luka, Porzingis, it's got to be DeLon. DeLon Wright is becoming one of my favorite Mavericks. I love
this year. Oh, okay.
I just love what he brings to the court. He's always getting steals. He's really crafty at driving to the lane, getting layups. He's really good at opening up or finding open players.
Yeah, you don't want him doing that like 10 times a game.
No.
But if you only need it 3 or 4 times, he can do that.
And he doesn't turn it over. I don't know if he ever turns it. I can't remember a single DeLon Wright turnover this year.
He had one in this game.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't remember it. That's how good he is.
That's the important part.
No, I love DeLon. I love what it brings defensively. I wish we could find a way to tighten up our closing lineup.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it against the Pelicans, he should be on the court just because of his defensibility. He's good at getting steals, especially when another team gets a rebound. He finds a way to poke the ball away. So my game ball goes to DeLon Wright.
Okay. So mine went to Dwight Howard. Yours went to DeLon Wright. I feel like mine was a better pick. But let us know who you think deserves a game ball. You can tweet us on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast or me at _Sydney Myers. I think I had the better pick.
But yeah.
You can let me know.
Another thing, I know we're going to move on from that real quickly. There were a lot of times when I felt like the officials did not win or lose the game. I'm not going to say
that. No, but it was a physical game.
And there were a lot of times.
And they let them play physically.
Except the Mavericks. Like, I felt like, you know, when the Lakers would drive it or whatever, they were getting calls, but the Mavericks, it'd be the same contact.
They would get clobbered.
Yes, and they wouldn't, like, there was one where where I don't remember who
there were
was.
Several God. Where someone would drive it and Davis and like McGee, if he was out there, they would all just crumble on yes. this guy. And it's like, there's gotta be there's, a foul.
And when you watch the replay,
there,
they're
yeah.
hitting the arm and it's yeah. like, dude, like how are you allowing them to get away yeah. with this? So just a side point.
Yeah. So tough loss, but a lot of encouraging.
3-2 is a yeah, great yeah. start to the season.
The Nuggets game. I don't necessarily want to do a recap of that since you know
everybody's
I,
already
yeah,
covered
at
that
this
game.
Point,
yeah.
You've already heard everything, but I think that same as this, that was a big win, and it said a lot about the team and their depth. Luka and Porzingis sucked until like the last minute Luka hit that shot.
They sucked so bad that people were like, is there beef between Luka and Porzingis? Like, well, that's how bad they were.
I remember, so sort of like not related at all, but it made me think of it. There was a tweet. I think it was Josh Bow from Mavs Moneyball. He tweeted during the Lakers game, are the Mavs good? It's like when you watch the Nuggets win and when you watch them play against the Lakers, it's like, wait a minute, like, do we not suck this? And not
we
that
don't.
I didn't yeah. expect them to suck, but it's like, wait, are we actually good? Are the Mavericks good this year? It's weird.
I told you they're gonna yeah. win 50 games.
That is true. You
I
said
just,
yeah.
I just feel like Doncic alone is
just
so good.
This dude, and he's legit.
Yes.
He is legit. Yeah.
And he plays for the Mavs.
He's legit. At least for now. Did you see the Lakers Twitter account tweeted, real recognize real, and I had a picture with LeBron and Luka after the game. I don't remember who it was, but they tweeted, I'd like to report a tampering incident. Because, you know LeBron, they would love to get Luka, and I just hope that... We don't even have to talk about that. I'm just saying, in today's NBA, it's like you really just have to enjoy players
while you
have
them.
And just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
You know?
I really dislike Lakers fans. I do. Like,
why?
It's so easy to be a Lakers fan. They've always had great play. And they didn't do anything to earn any championship they got.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but like LeBron going there... That wasn't because the team or the front office or the coach. It was just
because it was LA.
I want to be in California. My son is over there, so let me go play for the Lakers. Yeah. You know.
And then Davis wants to get traded to nowhere else.
Just the Lakers.
But the Lakers.
Because it's the Lakers.
Shaq wants to go nowhere but the Lakers.
Yeah.
And it's just like they always get superstars because they're the Lakers. They have not had to fight for any of their 17 or 16, however many championships they have. And the fans, when they come out to the game and they're so loud and obnoxious, and it's just like, you know, it's so easy to be a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Because you don't have hard times. You get like 3 years
they
every
had
20
a few years.
Years
where they sucked.
Yeah. For a few years.
But, I mean,
and then now they have LeBron and Anthony Davis and they're title contenders.
I was going to say, you know, the Mavericks had what, like, 10 years of 50 win seasons, and then we sucked for a few years and now we have Luka, but they weren't like championship teams during that time.
Yeah.
So anyways, good games. The
Fakers.
Okay. It sucks overall that the Mavs went 1-2 in this week, even though
they really easily could have went 3-0.
Yeah. And they played. It
should have.
They played well. I mean, they looked good. But, I mean, they're still young. So they're going to have moments where they look really good, but they still lose. And that's kind of just what this season, I think, is going to be like.
And I think they're really confident in their ability. So I don't think losing this game hurts their confidence at all.
So their upcoming schedule for November, they have seven home games, 6 road games. But it's actually a pretty favorable schedule. There's some tough games against, like, Toronto, Houston, the Clippers and stuff. But, you know, they start out Cleveland, Orlando, New York, Memphis, and then
at Boston.
At
which
Boston.
That, you know, because you're on the road, Boston's
it's
not really that good. But because it's in Boston.
They're like 5-1.
Yeah, but they, you know who they've beaten?
You just don't like Jason. Well, I don't. We both think Tatum is overrated. But
yes.
Anyways, and then at New York. And then Toronto, San Antonio. But so it's the month is there's a few tough games, but I think this would be a good month to kind of build some confidence, figure some things out, and get a lot of good wins under their belt. You published an article recently on DallasHoopsCast.com
yes.
running down the 5 most important games of the month. And actually, this game against the Lakers was on that list.
And I predicted a Mavs win, but a close one. And that's exactly what happened.
Kind of happened, yeah.
No, it did. They won the game, and the Lakers had to cheat in order to win it.
Yeah. So that was on the list. I want to pick out each of us. So normally, we're going to do this every month. Where we'll have the top five games. And then on the pod, we'll cover each one of our, what we think is the most important game. So the Lakers game has already happened. So then we'll just cover like two other games that we think are most important. I'll go first and then you can share which one you think is most important. I think the game against the Knicks at New York, November 14th. I thought it was the 13th. Yeah. November 14th. That's a big game just because Porzingis is going back to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And he's going to get just trashed and booed. One thing, you know, now kind of seeing Porzingis in these really big games, I am a little concerned with how he's going to play because it's like last night against the Lakers, this was a huge game and he kind of disappeared in the second half. And I don't know if that was because of the play calls or if it was because of Porzingis. And
I think
so
it was
now,
just the situation. I mean, if you look at the Blazers game, he had 32.
True, yeah.
And
he's averaging like 21
on the
for the
season.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about – it's more of the scheme that you're running, getting him the correct shots because I think he's a big-time player.
And you also predicted in this article – that Luka would have a big game. Just,
against the Knicks?
Yeah,
for his teammate. Yeah, I think that's kind of what teammates do for each other.
Yeah.
If they're going home, then your buddy's gonna basically have a huge game just to make sure that you win the game, and they better win that game.
Yeah. So I mean, and it's not so much like a it's not a contender, it's not a in-state rivalry. It's just the that unique situation since Porzingis used to be there. It would be a fun game to win, I think, and so that's why I have it marked.
At this point, though. Because of the situation with Dennis Smith, it sucks.
It's sad.
Because if Porzingis goes there and drops 40, and Smith is just sitting on the bench watching it,
Knicks fans will never admit anything. No. So they won't.
They think
be,
Julius Randle's better than Porzingis.
But I think it'll hurt for Dennis Smith to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's having a really tough. I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Like we never were high on him as a basketball player.
But we never would boo him.
Yeah, like, I never like wanted bad.
That's
things
crossing
for,
a line.
Yeah, that's it, you it, just it don't really do is. That. Yeah.
Like, the regular fan banter is, oh, no, he's no good.
Yeah,
I want this
sucks.
Guy. Yeah.
But we don't know him as a person.
No,
you know?
No.
And like, I didn't like his attitude sometimes, but, it was like, whatever. He didn't handle that situation
very well.
But
that's just a fan viewpoint, you know? It's just how fans talk.
Yeah.
We would, out of respect for him as a human being, we would have never booed the guy if he played for us. Now, if he's going against us, we're probably going to boo because that's what fans do.
Yeah.
You don't boo your own guy.
I know.
Like, that's just, it's crossing a line.
I do think, though, hypothetically, if Dennis Smith plays in that game, and I said this before.
Sad.
I said this before, I think when the schedule first came out and we were talking about this game, I think it might be good for him because he might have a big game because those are the kind of games that he might struggle for the next 2 weeks, but he'll have a big game in that one. And so
I don't know. I mean, I think
I don't know if he will play, but I think if he does, he might have a big game.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your other most important game this month?
I would say the most important game is going to be the Spurs. Because
I had that one picked
the Spurs are going to be probably right there with you as far as standings in the playoffs. You could make the same case for Houston. Houston hasn't started very well.
Yeah, but I think Houston is better. So I don't know if that's a barometer. Would it be a barometer, but not as closely as the Spurs are?
I think teams are starting to figure them out. And it's really, if you just let Harden
dribble.
Do his thing, he's going to dribble like... He can't score every basket.
Yeah.
And so I think Houston might go backwards this year. But the Spurs, I think you're going to be fighting for playoff contention.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how that game goes. But we got to win against...
It's at home.
Yes. We got to win against the teams that are good at home.
Yeah. So, and I think, again, because they are probably going to be so close towards the end of the season, it'll be one of those games to see how good you really are, kind of tell you a lot about the team. It's early in the season, so almost every game is like that, but I think particularly that game will be too. So yeah, those are our two, what we think are two of the most important games this month. You can check out that article on DallasHoopsCast.com to see the other three games. Actually, I guess at this point it's two since the Lakers game already happened. Also on that article, you can buy, you can start to buy tickets to those games, which is pretty cool. Makes it easier for you. But yeah, that's the week. I mean, it was sort of rough, but also not,
it was bittersweet.
Yeah, not too much of it bothers me because I saw a lot of good things. And then also this week, Dirk got his street named after him.
You know, which it was really cool to see when he unveiled the street. And I was like, man.
That's his name.
He's got a street sign named after him. And it's like, what am I doing with my life?
Well, you're doing a podcast.
Oh, man, I've made it.
Does Dirk have a podcast?
Does Dirk need a podcast? He has a
Dirk
street
is
named
a podcast.
After. Wow.
So I heard, I saw some journalist that I should probably know what his name is because he's infinitely more successful than I am. But he was talking about how his one complaint was that the street is so small. He felt like since it's Dirk, you should like rename, you know, Main Street or something after him, or Elm, you know. And I was like, yeah, but look, you know, no other team has done this.
Does Troy Aikman have a street named after him?
Nobody, no Smith, other player. Yeah,
like Dallas is the Cowboys, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and yet none of them have a street named after them.
No.
It's Dirk, and and none of them have a statue. Dirk's gonna get his statue.
Statute, because you say statute. Anyways,
it's awesome.
He's going to get a 41-foot statue.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
No, that would be too tall.
No, I think it should be a tourist attraction. Make it humongous.
Yeah, it would be
cool. Make it part of the Dallas skyline.
Well, to do something that's, I don't know what, but do something like you said that's a tourist attraction, like with augmented reality or a museum or some sort of interactive thing there. Like just something to make it different and special.
And they have a perfect location right there in Victory Plaza.
Yeah.
Right there in the middle in between the buildings as you lead up to the game or the arena.
Do you think Luca one day gets a statute? Or a statue?
Well, thanks, guys, for listening. It was a great...
Okay. Do you think Luca will get a statue?
If he stays with the team for a long time and has success.
It sucks that, you know, when I say that, like, I don't know if he's going to stay here. I hate saying that because it makes me sound like I think he's the kind of guy that would leave or whatever. But it's just, this generation is just like that, you know? And
there's only two players, or not two players, but I don't know. It's like a handful of players that ever played their entire careers with one team.
Dirk,
Kobe, Duncan,
Jerry West.
No. Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Well,
yeah,
okay.
With the
but
Lakers,
still,
yeah.
Like, it's such a small amount. So chances are at some point Luka's going to be playing for the Lakers because the Lakers get everybody.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one visit to Los Angeles and all of a sudden I want to move here. I want to play for the Lakers. And it's like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the Kemba Walker Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Mavericks are the front runners to sign Kemba Walker. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake
Boston
up.
Boston is interested. He's signing
Boston's,
with Boston.
Yeah, yes. Like, Jesus. Wait. I mean, geez Louise.
Yeah. So anyways, it was a cool ceremony. It was weird to see Dirk because, you know, we haven't seen him in so long. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, man, you never realize it, but when he got on stage and he was talking to stuff, I was like, man, we haven't seen him in so long. This is pretty cool.
Thankfully, the Mavericks might actually be good this year, and they have good players. Because what if
they still sucked?
I saw one guy post, we turned Dennis Smith and Nerlens Noel into Luka and Porzingis.
Well, and Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan.
Well, we're just focusing on, like, the cornerstones at one point were going to be Dennis Smith and Nerlens, possibly, if Nerlens developed.
Nerlens is still in the league, though.
So is Dennis.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
He is still in the league. But, it's pretty awesome. It's cool to see. And I think it was good for Luka to see that, too, to see, like, what the Mavs did for Dirk, the way that they value that. I think that means a lot to players. I mean, Jimmy Butler said what he saw the Heat do for Dwayne Wade in Dwayne Wade's last game, even though they didn't even like really do anything.
No.
Everyone just kind of stuck around for some pictures.
Yeah.
But even that was enough for Butler, you know, plus other things. But that kind of swayed his decision a little bit. And so I think players, they want to be shown that appreciation and that respect. And the Mavs show that if you do that for the team, then they'll...
You will. And not just the Mavericks, the city itself.
Like, yeah.
Giving the Mavericks have the no say in,
true.
In the street.
Yeah, that's they still had to vote on it.
The city of Dallas.
Yeah.
So upcoming next, we have Cleveland tomorrow. I feel like this is a trap game because you're kind of thinking the Mavericks should win the next four. It's against inferior opponents.
I mean, it would be... I mean, Orlando might be kind of tough. And honestly, all these teams probably fight. New York fights every game. So they got to show up and play. But they should still go.
They
maybe 4-0, if not 3-1. Or
now, if they're going to make the playoffs, 3-1 at least.
Yeah.
You got to go 3-1. And, you know, Cleveland, Orlando, New York, Memphis, and then Boston, which is a tough one. But then New York again. And then you have Toronto at home and then the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then the Warriors, which are now a gimme game.
Yeah, not the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This month, they should actually have a really good record for the whole month because they have very few games against tough opponents.
Yeah. It'll be a fun month. We'll see. Any final thoughts on this week? Anything else you want to say about Dwight Howard? No? Okay.
He's a cheater.
Wow. Thank you guys so much for listening. Wherever you're listening to this, if you're not already subscribed or following, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. You can also listen to new episodes on our YouTube channel. Just search Dallas Hoops Fancast. And then obviously you can listen to new episodes on DallasHoopsCast.com. That article I mentioned about Dorian Finney-Smith, that's going to be up within the next couple of days, so make sure you check the site. And I'll also post it on Twitter. You can follow me at @_SydneyMyers or follow the show and the site at DallasHoopsCast. And
One thing. So we get a lot of people that say, found your guys' podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Love Great it. Podcast.
Underrated.
Like, well,
how about you leave a rating?
So we appreciate it. We really do.
Love the comments.
Just leave also that rating.
Yeah. Yes. Just hit that 5-star.
All you got to do is tap and you're done.
Yeah.
So appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're glad you like it. Just tap the phone or your tablet
the
or
screen.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right where the fifth star is.
The last star.
And just it would be it greatly little, appreciated.
Just tap it.
Yes.
We
appreciate the comments.
Yeah.
And the comment, hey, you guys are awesome. All you got to do is just tap.
Yeah. And if there's anything like that you don't like or maybe you
no,
want.
No. We're just focusing on
I'm
the
tapping
here.
I'm just saying, just let us know. Leave a review or, you know, let me know on Twitter. We want this show to be for the fans, like what you guys want. So feel free to share anything that you want us to talk about or change, questions, any of that. So that's all.
That's it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Dwight's a cheater.
Wow. You're not promised tomorrow in this little shop of ours. Not promised in this little shop of ours. Don't promise tomorrow in what in